Hello, we're glad you're joining us today for a study from the Word of God. We're studying from the book of Hebrews. We've been going through the book of Hebrews chapter by chapter. And what we've learned from the book of Hebrews is that we're no longer under the Old Testament because we have a better testament. We have better promises. We have better blessings. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better high priest. We have better circumstances under the New Testament. We don't need the Old Testament law to govern our lives any longer. And so Hebrews chapter 10 finalizes that discussion, but then it gives a warning at the end of the chapter. And we're thankful for that strong warning, and it should affect all of us. But let's begin in verse 1 of Hebrews 10, in which we learn about the Old Testament and why it is no longer in effect. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. That was the shortcoming of the Old Testament. The sacrifices made under the Old Testament could not make you perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. And so if your sins are truly forgiven, you would not have any more conscience of them. They would not be on your record any longer, and therefore they would not be on your conscience. But those were only a shadow of good things to come. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there was remembrance again made of sins every year. There wasn't remission of sins. The Bible says there was a remembrance of sins. That's why we don't go by the Old Testament. It was incapable of taking away our sins. Notice verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. That's what was offered under the Old Testament. The blood of bulls and goats. And that's why we're no longer under the Old Testament, because there's no forgiveness under the Old Testament. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That is from Psalm 40, verses 6 and 7. Because those Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sins, a body was prepared for Jesus, because Jesus was planning to come to this earth, and it was prophesied in the Old Testament he would have to have a body to come into this world, and that body of his would be sacrificed for our sins. So verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. It doesn't satisfy God for men to have an animal offered as sacrifice for their sins. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Christ came to do the will of God. What was that? To truly die for the forgiveness of our sins. The old law was a shadow of good things to come. And so Christ was the good thing that was to come, who would have a body, and it would be sacrificed for our sins. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That was God's will. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Under the law of Moses, those things were offered. But that didn't satisfy God's justice system. That could never take away our sins. That could never suffice to be a sacrifice for sin. Verse 9 of Hebrews 10 says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He hath taken away the first, that he may establish the second." The first testament or the first covenant was taken away so that there would be established the second covenant or the New Testament. The Old Testament was taken away and the New Testament was established. Verse 10, "By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, one sacrifice of Jesus satisfied God's justice system. It pleased God. And so we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. The New Testament is now in place. Verse 11 of Hebrews 10, "And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Now, this is the second time he said that in this chapter. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. The animal sacrifices could not take away sins. That was its fault. That's why it had to be replaced. Man had a serious problem. That serious problem was sin. He needed to have that absolved. But it could not be taken care of with the animal sacrifices. Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Once for all, and now he is sat down. He is finished. When he was on that cross, he said, "It is finished." So what do you do when you finish your work? You go up and you sit at the right hand of God. It was done. And so now there is forgiveness of sins. And he finished that work upon the cross. Verse 13, "From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Christ is going to sit at the right hand of God upon the throne until his enemies be made his footstool, the last enemy being death. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One sacrifice. Thousands upon thousands of people have been perfected as they obeyed the gospel by his one sacrifice. He has perfected them that are sanctified. Verse 15, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before," and this is the witness of the Holy Spirit, this verse, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That's from Jeremiah 31. And so the Holy Spirit witnessed that by those very words inspired by him. Now, verse 18, "Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Once you have offered the right sacrifice for the remission of their sins, there's no need for further sacrificing. And so this further underscores the point, we don't need the Old Testament any longer. Christ has made one sacrifice forever for all men. Therefore, these animal sacrifices are not necessary. They cannot take away sin. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." We can enter in the holy place, the church, and we can come before the throne of Christ with boldness, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, to seek help in time of need. Verse 20, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil." On the other side of the veil is the holiest of all. That is to say, his flesh. The veil represented the flesh of Christ, and when Jesus died upon the cross, his body was torn by the Roman spear and split open. And when that happened, he died, or he was dead, and the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, opening up the way to heaven, opening up that beautiful, beautiful avenue into heaven. And it's stated right there. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let's draw near. Let's draw near with a true heart. But not only that, verse 22 says, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies washed with pure water, of course, is the act of baptism. It's the only thing that's associated with our salvation in the New Testament is the baptism in water. But our hearts being sprinkled from an evil conscience, God clears our conscience when he forgives us of our sins. And we can have a clear conscience. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so now we can have a good conscience. So what should that do for us? Well, that gives us boldness. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We have professed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's hold fast that without wavering. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Redeemer. Not bulls and goats and so forth. Not animals. For he is faithful that promised. He has promised to forgive us of our sins. We need to have full confidence and let us consider one another like we're doing right now to provoke unto love and to good works. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews was trying to provoke them to love and good works, and that's what we still do today. And so we do today what they did back then. But also, evidently, some of them were drifting back into the old law, practicing the things under the Old Testament, and they were forsaking the assembling of the church. And so in verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some had that manner to forsake the assemblies. He said, don't you do that, but exhorting one another. You know why we come here? To exhort one another, to worship God. And when we worship God, we can exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, that means we do it on purpose. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's nothing else for you. Animal sacrifices cannot take away your sins. Don't sin willfully. Don't go back away from the church. So there's no more sacrifice for sins if you give up the life of Christ, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. That's going to happen on the judgment day. The Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 7. So you can only look forward to the fire of Jesus Christ to devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Remember Numbers 15, the man who broke the Sabbath day law? He picked up sticks. And they put him in ward. They arrested him. And they waited to find out what the Lord wanted them to do to the man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And God said, stone him with stones till he's dead. And so if you violated that lesser law, you died without mercy. Verse 29 of Hebrews 10. Of how much sorer punishment, worse punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. If you're going back to the Old Testament, you have no regard for the sacrifice of Jesus. If you go back to the Old Testament, you are disrespecting God and ignoring his commandments. Verse 30, for you know that he hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You know, that's a pretty sobering statement, don't you think? If you sin willfully, you're going to have fiery indignation. If you treat the word of God with disrespect, God's going to judge you for that. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Don't neglect the church that Jesus bought with his own blood. Verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. We need to have fear of God. We need to fear him. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So the Bible is not going to hold this a secret. It's not a secret that we are to fear God. It's not a secret that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Verse 32 says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. You stood strong for the gospel before. Remember that you did that. You endured a great fight of afflictions. When you became Christians, it wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient. He says in verse 33, partly whilst we were made a gazing stock. It was public humiliation, a gazing stock. That's what happened to Jesus. He was hung upon a cross. They hurled insults at him, made fun of him. He was a gazing stock. And they were made a gazing stock, these people that were receiving this letter to the Hebrews, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to suffer some. It's suffering is a part of being a Christian. Jesus said, if the world hated me, you know it's going to hate you. So we are light and the world is darkness and we stand out from the world. The world doesn't like that. The world didn't like Paul. It didn't like Peter. It didn't like Silas. The world doesn't like the prophets. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find the prophets had a very difficult time. And so partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. And so we have a difficult task to live for the Lord and to serve him. Verse 34, for you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Don't give that up. You stood strong before. Don't give it up now. Beloved, we're going to have a great reward in heaven. And I want to encourage you today, like this writer, this inspired writer was doing back then, I want to encourage you today to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold on to your faith. He says in verse 35, cast not away Therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, we have a reward. God's a rewarder. He's going to reward you. You be faithful to him and he'll reward you for your faithfulness. Hebrews 11 and 6, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 36, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After, you've got to do the will of God first in order to receive the blessings of God and the reward of God. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And we need to live with an ever and constant awareness of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And the Bible teaches in Matthew 24 verses 36 through Matthew 25 and 46. That you don't know when he's coming. Nobody knows when he's coming. We've got to live faithfully every day. He shall come and he will not tarry. So you've got to be ready. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. You don't please God by drawing back. You've got to press forward. No man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Do not look back. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of this soul. A real Christian, a true Christian, is a person who hangs on to the hope that he has. He doesn't give up. Nothing can cause him to let go of that hope. Nothing can cause him to go back and leave the truth of the gospel. He latches on to it. He holds firm to it. He encourages others to do the same. That's who a Christian is. A Christian endures hardships for his Lord and Master and Savior. And I want to encourage you to do the very same thing. No, we're not under the Old Testament any longer. We're under the New Testament. And under the New Testament, we have the complete forgiveness of our sins. And under the New Testament, we have a clear conscience. And under the New Testament, we can enter into the holiest of all places through prayer. Christ has opened up the way to heaven. We can actually go in there. When our lives end and the world ends, we can be taken home to heaven. So we learn that from the book of Hebrews. We also need to learn that if we fall short, there is the punishment that God has designed for those who do not continue to hold fast to the faith. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. He's going to bring his angels in flaming fire at the end of time when he comes. And he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, dearly beloved, thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining us in a study of the book of Hebrews and in particular chapter 10 today. What a powerful chapter it is. What a wonderful an encouraging chapter. And we need to have that strong faith to continue to be loyal to the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. And if you're ever in the Weatherford, Texas area, please come and look us up. We're 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We're called the Windmill Church of Christ. And my name is Richard Massey, and right now I'm the preacher there. And we have elders, we have 3 elders, and we'd like to invite you to come and be with us if you're in our area. We have a website, windmillcoc.org. Look us up, and you'll find our information. Thank you for tuning in. May God richly bless you as you study his word And as you pray each day, and we hope and pray that you'll also be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, as the Bible teaches. Thank you for listening today. Take care and have a good day. Bye for now.